The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to the weekend. Glad to have everyone here, and we're in for a long, frolicking show. Thanks so much for being a part of it. Let's start with something that we told you about late in the program yesterday, and that's the new college football rule. It has changed to require a two-point conversion after TDs in the second overtime rather than the third. Would anyone like to take a guess what the impetus behind this rule is? Yes, you got it. It was the seven-overtime LSU-Texas A&M game from a couple of years ago. We had Ross Dellinger on yesterday, and this was approved by the committee a couple weeks ago and by the entire council on yesterday. Meanwhile, former Arkansas head coach Bobby Petrino, he's now at Missouri State. He was named the Missouri Valley Football Conference's top coach. Been a while since he's won an award. Congratulations, coach. Meanwhile, the controversy in Austin continues, and the UT Longhorn band members will be required to play Eyes of Texas, or they can join a separate band. This is a controversy that just seemingly will not go away. And again, this is Steve Sarkisian is facing this before he even coaches his first game. Meanwhile, there is some terribly sad news from the basketball world. Terrence Clark, who played at Kentucky last year, a top young player, has decided to make himself available for the NBA draft. He has been killed in a crash, and the entire college basketball world in mourning. John Calipari issuing a statement saying, "I'm absolutely gutted and sick tonight. A young person who we will all love here has just lost his life too soon, one with all of his dreams and hopes ahead of him. Terrence Clark was a beautiful kid, someone who owned the room with his personality, smile, and joy. People gravitated to him, and to hear we have lost him is just hard for all of us to comprehend right now. We are all in shock. Terrence's teammates and brothers loved him and are absolutely devastated. They know we are here for them, whatever they need. I am on my way to Los Angeles to be with his mother and his brother to help wherever I can. This will be a difficult period for all of those who know and love Terrence. And I would ask that everyone take a moment tonight to say a prayer for Terrence and his family. May he rest in peace." John Calipari with some very, very poignant words. Meanwhile, it is Friday, and we've had a very busy week here on the program. And let's sit back for a second and take a good look and listen to what it's all about.
If we're going to win half our games, we've got to win three or four in the SEC. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I've said it before, we're in the SEC West, exactly where Arkansas belongs. And whoever those names are, we're not playing logos. We're playing 11 guys on 11 guys. Actually, I really love our logo, by the way. But we're playing 11-11, and we'll go out there and see if we can outscore them.
And that was a very interesting comment from Coach in Arkansas the other day. Meanwhile, Stuart Mandel was with us 2 days ago. He's from The Athletic, and he was talking about what's up with the Pac-12.
The real issue is what I just said, is that the presidents of the schools aren't taking it seriously enough and investing in it in a way that you need to compete with the SEC and the Big Ten and the other conferences. It's becoming a self-fulfilling cycle, right? The longer they go without making the playoff, the more that these kids that they need to be able to turn it back around are going to go to Ohio State now. I mean, Bryce Young grew up a UCLA fan. His parents both went to UCLA. He would have loved to play for UCLA. And then it got to be actually time to pick a college. And, well, I can't achieve what I want to achieve by staying in at that school or in this conference. I mean, at the end of the day, like, they need to win.
Stuart Mandel. Matt Corral also joined us yesterday. He's the Ole Miss quarterback. He talked about a lot of things, from being a SoCal kid to trying to deal with Lane Kiffin.
I mean, ultimately, the SEC football is the best you can get. And I mean, it's a step down from the NFL, and that's what I personally feel. That's what I personally believe. And you get to go against the best across the country. So, I mean, it doesn't get better than that if you want to exploit the talent that you have.
Matt Corral. And finally, Barrett Salee joins us yesterday. He didn't give one hot take. He gave a greatest hit CD worthy of them. Take it away.
I would say without question, LSU is Alabama's biggest threat in the West. I like A&M. I think they'll be solid. I think that from a competitive standpoint, they're going to be right there in the West. But I just, it looks to me like LSU is a more complete team, and that's granted. We haven't seen A&M play. The challenge comes from Georgia itself. I don't think Florida has much of a chance at all. I think they're going to take a really significant step back. I think Kentucky is going to be definitely a thorn in the side of everybody like they have been. But really, I think the gap between Georgia and everybody else in the SEC East is about as big as the Grand Canyon. I wasn't concerned about Mississippi State until the FBI took number eight. And now I'm worried about Mississippi State fans because, honestly, Paul, I know there are only seven teams in the SEC West. I still might rank Mississippi State eighth in the West behind Alabama's second team, I guess.
What's interesting is the Grand Canyon is not that wide. I was out there a couple of years ago. But we'll get to Barrett's comments in a minute and your phone calls at 855-242-7285. First, our guest this afternoon. And we are jam-packed. Mike Golic Jr. joining us in a few minutes, talking about the Tennessee scrimmage tomorrow. McElroy on A&M. Stinch will join us as well. And DJ Shockley on Ole Miss's scrimmage. So with all those games tomorrow, I believe there is some inclement weather out there tomorrow. Yeah, South Carolina has moved to Sunday. That's what I was trying to think of. So that's where we are. We'll get some calls in here as well at 855-242-7285. And let's start with Matt, who is first up in San Antonio. Hello, Matt.
How are you doing, Tim? It's Paul Bond, my friend. I disagree with your ESPN person who thinks A&M is not a threat in the West. That's a bunch of BS. LSU is not going to beat Alabama. I'm sorry, I'm not convinced on their coaching staff, all the new coaches they hired. LSU, they got destroyed by Alabama. Yes, I'll be fair about this, Paul. We didn't do so good against Alabama last year, but A&M has a better coaching staff than LSU does. We are not going to lose like to Alabama. Like everybody keeps on thinking we're going to lose to Alabama. I'm sorry. We'll throw it out the window. We're not going to lose to them.
May I ask you how you know all this?
Because LSU's coaching staff is not been proven right now. They're new, Paul. They have to learn a whole new coaching staff. I'm not convinced on that one, Paul.
Okay, and that's all you got is their coaching staff?
No, it's not just that, Paul. A&M has a better quarterback and they have better depth. They have this at least.
Hey, Matt. Who's A&M's quarterback going to be?
Honestly, I can't answer that one.
Okay. But regardless, they have a better quarterback than LSU, who has about three contenders, including two guys that played a lot last year.
Yes, I'll give you that. They did play a lot last year, but A&M has proven coaches on their staff this year, Paul.
LSU has a head coach who's won a national championship more recently than your head coach.
Yeah, but honestly, Paul, at least our coaches have experience, not their new coaches.
Okay.
And let me ask you an honest question, Paul. When's the last time LSU managed to keep their coaching staff together?
I'm not sure why that matters so much, Matt, considering Nick Saban reshuffles his coaching staff every single season, and he keeps winning and going to the playoffs. Yeah. We're up against a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon. We mentioned the spring games begin tomorrow. Well, we've had a few last week already, but let's talk about some of them, especially the Tennessee game with our good friend Mike Golic Jr. Mike, thanks for being here, and I know you're doing a deep dive into Tennessee this week, and I am really eager to hear what you have learned and what you expect tomorrow.
I expect it to go fast tomorrow, Paul, and I appreciate you having me. I think that's going to be the number one thing that jumps. We all know Josh Heupel's reputation offensively, what he's been trying to work for. And in talking to him earlier today, we got a chance to meet with him via Zoom for a little while. I think the one thing that shines through is we know that's going to be a part of things. This is going to be an offense that wants to go fast, regardless of who's at quarterback and whether it's for Hendon Hooker or Bailey or Moore. All of these guys are learning how to operate at that fast pace, but it's not going to be the only way they stress defenses here. And in a league, Paul, that you've watched become a time and space league, they're going to stretch. They're going to make you defend all 53 and a third. And I think now, especially, it's going to be a welcome addition to, and I think a potentially successful part of what has become the modern SEC.
I'm curious what he said about the quarterback room, because we know what they had last year, and they've had two young guys, one from West Virginia, one presumably from Michigan, move over. Where are they right now in searching for a quarterback?
It sounds like right now all still even reps, and this is kind of a good reminder, Paul, as someone myself who went through a coaching change while I was at Notre Dame, that first spring practice is so much of just mechanically learning how to operate their offense. And for Hendon Hooker, who's obviously coming over here from Virginia Tech, an entirely different scheme and way of doing things for him, it's just getting through the mechanics. So it sounds like still pretty evenly split reps, and this is an offense that Josh Heupel was very quick to point out is going to adjust slightly in favor of whoever is at quarterback. So having the ability to be a runner, while helpful in modern college football, isn't a prerequisite for this spot. So it still sounds like it's relatively even amongst the three that are on campus right now.
Mike, I don't know what he said about, or maybe he didn't say very much about the transfer portal, but we both know that has been a pretty active spot for former Orange Clad volunteers. What do we know in terms of what's left behind? Because this team, I wouldn't say they were gutted, but they were hurt pretty badly.
They were, especially, I mean, you look, and I always selfishly start with the offensive line, and we know that was a spot that was, I think, disproportionately impacted by some of the transfer portals, players making those decisions. When you look at Jameer Johnson, Wanya Morris, both on their way to A&M and OU, respectively. But I think in that way, Paul, we've already seen them benefit at the quarterback spot from the transfer portal. We've heard, I mean, this is a place, Paul, in a circumstance that I think had less to do with Josh Heupel and more just the fifth-year seniors on this team have now on their third head coach. Anyone in their right mind, even the guys that stayed, a lot of them, you hear the quotes throughout the spring, said, I mean, a lot of us thought about it because who wouldn't based on what they've been through already. But I think you look, going back to that offensive line, a spot where they've had some of that, you've still got things to build on here. Cade Mays has a lot of position flexibility that's going to allow these guys to work. The scheme as a whole, I think, Paul, just using tempo, especially leaning on that early, is going to help mitigate maybe a lack of experience at certain spots. They're not bringing back a ton of carries in the running back room. You are breaking in a new quarterback. And so all those things are going to help, but being able to establish on the ground right now, Paul, the way that Coach Heupel's worked so hard at trying to get players bought in here, making them believe that Josh Heupel and his family are as committed to them and this program as anyone they've been around in a while, and making sure those aren't just words. That's how, especially as we go forward with the transfer pool, being both an asset and something you have to account for as a coach with guys leaving, that's how you're going to create a place where people want to stay. And that seems to have been the big focus so far through the spring.
Mike, beyond what we are going to see tomorrow, and sometimes we see a lot and sometimes we see what they want us to see, I am interested in your thoughts on Josh Heupel, you know, what he's done so far, what it means, and what is he facing with a tremendous challenge at Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge at Tennessee, we know, is all of the noise, right? It's all of the things that surround a program. And anytime you're taking over one of these big time jobs, you've got to kind of be able to wear both hats. And so it was great hearing Josh Heupel talk about the community embracing him for now and all these things that come up. And, you know, his son starting his first Little League game out there. They seem settled in. And Paul, it seems like he understands and is committed to showing that it's not just words. You know, you bring out an ice cream truck after one of the early workouts or spring practices to show the players you're in on. You bring your family around. All of these things from the outside looking in, and Lord knows I can be cynical at times, from the outside looking in, but when you talk to him, when you hear the response from players during their media time, it really seems like there's been an earnest effort, and by Josh's account, an earnest effort for him to go and listen. He said in his first meeting, I'm going to do a lot of talking, but I'm also going to do a lot of listening. And he took feedback from the players of what they were looking for, because again, a lot of these guys have been through the ringer on the coaching front. And so I think there seems to be a real earnest effort to make trust more than just a word with this team, with this coaching staff, and these group of players. And all you can do is try and put a few drops in that bucket over the course of the spring, Paul. We know that's going to come when you really get your feet held to the flames in the fall, when we'll decide how that trust has really lent itself. But so far, from what I've heard from players around the program, from what we've talked with Coach Heupel, it sounds like there's really an honest effort to show we're in this for the right reasons.
Mike, let me change gears a little bit. The CFP met this week, and they just moments ago, as you were coming on, put out a release. And, you know, sometimes they can bury the lead in the words, but they acknowledged in this official release that they looked at a number of different possibilities, from a 6 to an 8 to a, even a 16 team playoff. Now, nobody thinks it's going there, and it's easy to be cynical, Mike Golic, and say, hey, they're not doing anything. But maybe we're overthinking here, but the fact that they acknowledge that they're talking about it, was that done just to slow down those of us cynics who don't believe they're going to change until they have to? Or do you think that maybe they're really serious about expanding after being so Sherman-esque in their defense of what they currently have?
I think it's the latter, Paul, and you and I have both been around a lot of these meetings before the season that we have here at ESPN, where we get together and talk about the state of things, the updated rules, but we also usually hear from the committee, and anytime someone from the committee says something to me publicly, that's usually an indication of, all right, they've probably been talking about this in private for a while, because that is generally a very tight-lipped bunch. So I'd imagine they see what everyone else has been saying, that there are more dollars to be had if you go this way, but also just understanding, all right, maybe when we start to talk about the health of college football, it is involving more teams in this dance. It is expanding the people that can, as the season goes along, feel like their team has a shot, maybe not in a national title, because I think the same 5 or 6 teams are still going to be the ones ultimately into it. But I think as a general interest thing that goes back to, we can get more money and eyes on TVs and eyes on these games by including a broader swath of people in this. And then you add in the fact that these coaches and the former athletic directors and the people that comprise this committee are competitors. I think all roads lead to the understanding that we all have that we now see leaking out of that room, that this thing is going to expand, and I would imagine sooner than later.
And Mike, before you go, let's talk about what this year looks like. And you could almost say, well, it looks pretty similar to how it's looked over the last couple of years. But what do you think? Is it Alabama, Clemson? Does Georgia crash the party? Is Oklahoma back in there? Ohio State, are they going to be around again? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the most simplistic view of this, Paul, is I think it's going to be the usual players that have built up that bevy of talent. But what I am especially interested in, and we got to watch the 8A game at Alabama, is last year going into the 2020 season, we had already had a look at Mac Jones in an Alabama uniform after the Tua injury, and we knew what we were getting. We now at Clemson already got a look at DJ Uiagalelei in a Clemson uniform in a couple of big time games. And so I think right off the bat, it's not going to be like a COVID season where I so prorated teams that were bringing back same head coach, same quarterback in a uniform. But it's still going to matter an awful lot coming off an obscure offseason and understanding that there are only a few teams that are capable of operating at that level. So I'd expect the usual suspects more often than not. I'll give Alabama the benefit of the doubt, but this needs to be one of those years, I think, for Kirby Smart in Georgia where, all right, we make a decisive move at the quarterback spot. We make sure now if everyone's healthy, we've got the most talented guy out there, and we finally put to work all the rest of the five stars up and down that roster that we've been bankrolling.
Mike, thanks. I know you got a busy afternoon. It's always good to see you. We will talk to Mike Golic again as we get closer to the season. We're heading to a break, and where more of your phone calls will start pouring in. We'll go to McElroy later on. He's got the A&M game. We'll hit all the games that are on the docket for this weekend, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back here on I've lost track of what day it is. It's Friday afternoon, and we're taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bill Hancock speaking, as we always love Bill to speak. College Football Playoff Committee considered expansion to as many as 16 teams. Now, I want to ask the question, is there a single person in the world, the universe, or mankind, or maybe alien kind, who believes that they seriously considered a 16-team playoff? That could be one of the funniest things I've ever heard them say. This is Bill Hancock. Here's what they want you to know. There will not be a new format this season or next season, even if the board decides to alter the format. It may well not occur until after the current agreement has expired, which isn't until after the 25 season. So there you go. Bill telling the truth. They're not expanding anytime soon. They're just, they hired a committee. I mean, they are a committee, and they basically said, okay, let's be scientists here for a second. Let's talk about a 4-team playoff, a 6, an 8, and even a 16 just to feed the beast. And then we can tell the inquiring minds out there that we did this. But Hancock coming in with the truth right there. They're not doing it. He as much as said, we're not changing it until the contract is up. And by the way, there's a reason for that. You already have ESPN involved, and you open the door to maybe a larger CFP by. Maybe you get another bidder. We just got through watching the NFL. We've watched others. So it's all about leverage. It's all about negotiation, and that's where we are. The phone lines are available at 855-242-7285, and let's check in with John right now in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. What a great interview with Golic. And my compliments to you because you asked the right questions, and it really brings out a great interview.
Thank you.
And I love the fact that you can be flexible with the different folks you talk with. Like Mac Brown was a visit with an old friend. The two Alabama players were just an interview to have some fun with. And then you knew how to push back slightly when Lane Kiffin brought up some childhood issue he had back at USC.
Well, John, I don't know. I mean, there are many ways to interview, but to me, the most important thing that I go into every interview with is how do I make the guest comfortable and make him sound better or her and be the star. And I think that's really where we differ here than some other shows. Some other programs have a set pattern and they are not going to ever change. To me, the guest is the star. I am just I look at it as anybody could do what I do.
But only you do it. You moderate it according to the guest and what the subject matter is. You do a great job. By the way, you do a great job with the callers. I mean, you'll have some folks that are a little bit older or some who can't express themselves, and you're so patient and polite and respectful, and I do appreciate that. As well as when you get the calls like Jeff, you take on the role of a anger management therapist, and you try and help him through his issues.
Well, John, I appreciate you bringing that up. I have modified my – I don't know how long you've been part of the show. How long have you been, if that would maybe help you?
Oh, it's been a good 5 years, and I've watched you change, by the way. You've become kinder and gentler and more focused.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because, you know, sometimes the – you know, it's always most difficult to analyze your own self, and I know that you know, this is not like college or pro football where we go in and study the film every night. We're more interested in tomorrow than we are what happened today or yesterday. But I would agree with your observation, and I can't exactly pinpoint what has changed about this program. I think I've understood what's important here, and I think by doing that, I think the show's gotten better. I mean, there are plenty of critics out there, and that's fine. I do not let the criticism of the show do anything but amuse me.
Well, I have two softball questions, but I was going to mention, I think the issue of Wood with Jeff is probably the fact that his team got taken to the woodshed. So with your next therapy session, I think that's where you should probe.
Yeah, I you know, I'll be pretty blunt. I don't care if I ever talk to him again. That's really my attitude. My attitude now about callers is, I mean, I want them to come back. I want them to feel comfortable. But if we get a raving lunatic, and I'm not saying he is, I mean, there's a few of them out there who think that we are going to change this program for them, then they're misunderstood. And, you know, and ultimately, John, that is my fault because I alluded to this the other day, but in the past, I have tried so hard to appease to everyone regardless. And now the philosophy is the show is for everyone. It's not for one person.
Well, here are my two questions. They're both softball. One is you had mentioned some time back that you were sued for libel. So my question is, did they put you on the stand that day? And the second question is, you had committed to rappelling for this nonprofit group in Alabama. And that question would be, have you set a date and would you consider doing it on game day?
I have not set a date, and I'll consider anything for a nonprofit. So that would be my answer to the second part. The first question is yes. Early in my career, I did an investigative piece, and the newspaper was sued. There was a trial. It was about a 2 week long trial. And of course, naturally, I was one of the key witnesses because I had written the story. Now, there were some other people involved, but I was the main person on the story. So, yeah, I was not only I was the defense witness, but the other side could not wait. The plaintiff could not wait to come after me.
Well, that's great. Hey, one last compliment to your back room for the great number of guests they bring to your show, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. I saw something, and I'm not going to mention specifically where I saw this because I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. But there was an event recently where the person in front of the camera was upset because those talking to that person, I'm getting very careful here, while she was talking, while the person was talking, and apparently the individual blew up. And the point is that the people that are talking to you during a program are trying to help you. They're guiding you. And when you mention the people in the back room, they are critically important. We have a number of people that run. We have two different. The show has two different tributaries, as most of you know. There's a radio side of it, and then there's a television side. And we all have to work together. And sometimes it's confusing. And when there's breaking news or things don't work, it's hard to remain calm. But ultimately, everyone's trying to get us back to where we are. And I'm constantly amazed when people in front of the camera start screaming at those behind the camera. I wish I could just go ahead and tell the whole story, but I'm not going to. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here Friday afternoon. And let's check out Colton up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Paul, I'm a longtime listener, man. First-time caller, man. I love your show. Listen to it every day. Look forward to it, man. And it really brightens my day, Paul.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to make a comment about Jeff from Ohio, Paul. It wasn't too long ago that everyone that called was basically raving about Jeff, saying he was one of the best callers you had, the most entertaining, you know, and it's kind of sad to see how he fell from grace, Paul, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, here's the problem, Colton, and he's not the only one. A lot of us do the same thing. We wrap ourselves around our favorite team, and in Jeff's case, you know, once his team got exposed, he could not deal with it, nor could he really communicate afterwards.
Yeah, Paul, I live in Mobile, Alabama. I've been a Tennessee Volunteer fan my whole life, so we've been exposed for quite some time, and I've dealt with a lot of backlash from my friends in my life.
Yeah, this is a sports call-in show, so people call in bragging or talking about their favorite team, but in the end, you have to have the ability to deal with however your team does. And unfortunately for Jeff, his entire value, his entire manhood is based on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Well, Paul, it was really great talking to you. I love your show, man. You have a great weekend.
Colton, thank you. I appreciate the very kind words. Let's check out Jerry, who is up next. What do you got, Jerry?
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Guy called in earlier talking about the old Paul Feinbaum and now the new Paul Feinbaum. And sometimes you sound like you're almost ashamed of the old Paul Feinbaum. But my opinion is that everything you have now is because of the old Paul Feinbaum. I don't think you have anything to be ashamed of. You were always fair with people. You might be hard. You'd ask the questions that they didn't want to have to answer. But there's nothing wrong with that. You were never unfair to anybody. So I don't know why.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate you saying that. It's funny because I hear where you're coming from, and I think I'm learning about myself in hearing your explanation. I would agree. There's a reason why we are where we are. And I think everything that has been done prior to this has opened the door for this. I think the difference is that I'm not sure I was as aware of all that while I was doing it. I think the one thing about spending the last year, as we all have, is it has given us a chance to reflect a little bit. And yeah, there are days when I would like to turn the clock back, and as we all would, but I feel more comfortable, I think, where we are right now.
Well, as you do a good job on the radio, I think people recognize that. But what you were as a columnist puts to shame what you've done on the radio. You would have made the Philadelphia sports writers blush had you taken that job up there with some of the stuff you wrote in your...
Well, Jerry, thank you for saying that, because...
Some of your stuff.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I mean, it is... I don't know I'm not sure exactly how to describe what it, because the first half of my career as primarily a sports writer, I would not trade with anything. But the great part about that, and I know this is awkward talking about myself here, but by doing all that, I think it helped prepare me, because I don't think, when I talk to young people in the industry, I don't think you can replace the experience that I gained, the ability to be a reporter, and I think that's really that makes it easier for me today to understand things, and because I think too often when you put somebody in front of a camera or behind a microphone and they've never been out there before, they're only used to sitting in a air-conditioned studio. It puts them at a disadvantage, especially when things don't go well, or if there's a big story going on, or if there's a breaking story or a tragedy.
Yeah. But I think as an interviewer, you surpass even your abilities as a columnist.
List
of questions.
Well, but Jerry,
stand here an interviewer who. Go ahead.
No, I appreciate what you said. Go ahead. I want to hear what you were saying there. I apologize for interrupting.
Well, you listen to what the person that's talking to you is saying, and then you're able to quickly formulate questions in your mind about where to go next. The interview flows, and when you go into it, you don't know if it's going to flow this way or if it's going to flow the opposite way a lot of time. Now, there's times when the old Paul Feinbaum, when the old radio show, which I want to get to in a minute, will ask very penetrating questions of a football coach who's on the hot seat. You really knew how to get in there and dig. And I'm sure on those occasions you knew which way the conversation was going to go. That coach was going to go away with his tail between his legs, but he was going to come after you as like a hornet if you ever had the opportunity to. But anyway, your interviewing capabilities I really would put up there with somebody like Michael Hawkins, to be honest with you. But now that I've set you up, the one thing, they talk about the old show, Jim always talked about all that crap. The show didn't change when you went national and had national callers. It was the same thing. It just involved a larger and divergent group. But the show has changed since the man who's got you in his pocket came to the SEC. Well, came to Alabama specifically, because I think your job at SEC Network is because of Nick Saban. And I don't necessarily think, although I think it's possible, that he might have recommended you for the job, but when he came to Alabama, the SEC became such a powerful conference that, and he was the, you know, the guiding light, basically. Everybody knew they had to step their game up when he got there. They knew that he couldn't get away with three-quarters effort or whatever. So anyway, SEC blows up, gets all this national attention, national money. SEC Network's going to start up, but it's only starting up because of how powerful the conference has gotten. So one way or the other, I would say you owe to him your position now. And I understand that, you know, in a way you've got to fluff the SEC up a lot. So you're not going to necessarily attack him. For one thing, there's not a lot to attack, of course, but...
Well, Jerry, let me thank you for the call. I'm not going to be able to react to that because we have to go to the break. But there is not much to attack in Tuscaloosa right now. I would agree with you on that. We're going to take a break 3 hours to go.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.